And I don't know about you guys, but the title that is in the heading of this section 4 in my Bible, it says, not legalism, but Christ. And so here we see Paul as he goes through, and it's just that once again encouraging the people at Colossae. He wants to remind them that we're in Christ, that we're new creatures in Christ. And it's not all this legalism. It's not all of the traditions. It's not all of the laws and the rules. That it's not by our works, right? It's by Christ. It's by his works. It's by what he's done. And he really brings that out in this session. So we're just going to read through it and then discuss. Verse 11 of chapter 2. Says, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision not made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him, through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your trespasses and uncircumcised of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of the requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And having disarmed the principalities and powers, he has made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And so, yeah, here, I think one of Paul's main focuses here is the newness of life that we find in Christ. And right away he says, in him you were also circumcised, in verse 11, with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ. And so here, this picture of this picture of circumcision here, it really is a picture of new life. It's a picture of taking that old man and cutting that away, cutting away those sins, separating them from our lives, and having this new life in Christ. And so, of course, we see here in verse 11, it says, made without hands, the putting off of the body of the sins of the flesh. It's a cutting away of the flesh. And later in this book, in Colossians chapter 3, in verse 8, it says, but now you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. And so here we see all these filthy things, these sins, these things of the flesh that we oftentimes get ourselves into, right? It's so easy to get angry, right? It says anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language. It's so easy to get into those situations where we find ourselves getting angry over something, or using filthy language, or just having malice. You know, those things, it's very easy when we're in the flesh to get into those things. But here in chapter 3, it says that we don't want to lie to one another. We want to put off the old man and his deeds. And when we put off that old man, we put on a new man. And that new man is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created. So that new man, he had this renewed image based upon the man who created us, God, right? We have this new vision, this new life based upon the one who created us. It's the way that he created us to be. It's a new perspective. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul once again is talking about the new man. And in verse 22 it says, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on a new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. So here, once again, we see it was created according to God, that righteousness, that holiness. It was created by him for us in this situation by what he did for us on the cross. And in verse 22 there, it says that we put off the former conducts. And then in verse 24, it says that we put on the new man. It's an action. We have to take action. That cutting away of the flesh, it's not just, oh yeah, whatever, you know, it's just not just going to cut away itself. It's an action. We have to constantly be cutting away the flesh. We have to choose to cut away the flesh. It's an action. We have to choose to put on that new man and put off that old flesh. In Romans chapter 6, once again, we see Paul talking about this new man, putting away those old things, things of the flesh. Verse 6, it says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. And if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. We saw that there in Colossians at the end when it says that he has conquered the principalities and the powers, right? He has overcome them. He triumphed over them, it said in Colossians. Death no longer has dominion over him. And when we cut away that flesh, when we cut away that old man, when we're no longer slaves to sin, it's just as if we died with him on that cross. Our sins, they were nailed there with him on that cross. And they're dead. They're gone. We're freed from those sins because he died in our place. He took the payment for those sins. And now because he died, because he took those sins for us, when we cast our sins onto him, we now are also able to live with him, live in him, right? And then in Galatians chapter 5, here we see Paul talking about walking in the Spirit. Once we have cut away the flesh now, we need to walk in that new man. We need to walk in that way. Once we've cut off the flesh, we don't want to try to put it back on, right? We want to throw it away. We want it to be gone. So now we need to walk in the way of the Spirit. So starting in verse 16 of chapter 5 of Galatians, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so here you see this huge long list of things that we want to get rid of in our lives, right? When we cut away that flesh, those are things that we don't want to see in our lives anymore. And then in verse 22 and 23, it talks about this. These are the things that we want to see. This is the fruitfulness that we see when we have truly cut away the flesh. We see love, right? We see joy. We see peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. When we cut away the flesh and we live according to the Spirit, those are the things that are evident in our life. It's apparent that we've cut away the flesh, right? The world, they can see that we are different. And then if you would go back to Colossians. I think this, the next thing that you think of when you think of circumcision is, it's painful. I know that when Micah was recently born, obviously, it was very painful. It was hard for me to watch. I felt so horrible for him. He was just crying so much, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so painful. And it is. It's hard. It's unnatural, right? When we are cutting away the flesh, it is unnatural for our fleshly bodies to cut away that. Those are the things that we lean towards, we tend to do. It's unnatural. The world looks at us and they're like, you're crazy. What? Why would you do those things? These things are fun. They're enjoyable. This is just what we do, you know? But when we cut away those things, it's hard. It's difficult. It's painful. We're going against the grain of the world. I thought it was very interesting, honestly. I thought it was just a normal thing. And we actually had to call in someone special to do it for Micah. And it was like, it was shocking to me. I thought, oh, someone's just going to be there. They're going to do it. You know, it's normal. And the lady comes in and, you know, she's going through this list and this could happen and this could happen. You don't have to do this. It's not necessarily beneficial. They almost try to convince you to not do it, right? To the world, it's crazy, right? And especially in the time when God asked them to do this, it was unheard of. Only the people who follow God, this is what they did, right? And that's what we are. We don't want to be like the world. We want to be separate from the world. And whether it's painful, whether it's hard, whether it's really difficult, we need to endure it, right? So that we do walk in the Spirit. John chapter 16. John 16. Verse 33, it says, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Right? We're not of the world. We're not of the things in this world. We're going to have trials and tribulations because we're in this world right now. It's going to be hard for us. But be of good cheer, he's overcome, right? He's defeated. He's disarmed the principalities and the powers. He's overcome death. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12, it says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The world's going to look at us, and they're going to be like, what is wrong with you? They're going to make fun of us. We're going to have hard times. We're going to have the world come against us because it seems so strange what we're doing. But it says, if we desire to live godly in Christ, those things are going to happen. It's going to be painful. It's going to be hard. Walking in Christ is not easy. It's not the easy path. It's narrow. It's hard. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18, it says, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Right? It's worth it. That suffering that we're going to go to in this world, go through in this world, it's worth it for glory, right? It's worth it for what the Lord has given us. And then if you would turn back to Colossians. The next verse, verse 12, it says, buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead, you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. He has made you alive together with him, having forgiven you all of your trespasses. I think it's cool there where it says he's forgiven you all of your trespasses. It's not just a little bit. Mm-hmm. It's not just part of them. He's not just taking over the worst, the simplest ones and being like, oh yeah, those are nothing. I can forgive you for those. He's taken everything. He's taken the grimiest grime of us and he's forgiven all of that. I think that here in verse 12 when it says that we are buried with him in baptism in which you were also raised with him through the faith of the working of God who raised him from the dead. I think that here this picture of baptism is so cool. He's not saying you were literally buried with him. It's just a symbol, right? It's a symbol that, and that's what baptism is, right? It's a symbol of our salvation. We're buried. As we go down into the water, it's the picture of him being buried, right? Those old things are cast away, and when we come out of the water, it's that newness, the newness of life. It's an outward sign of an inward, eternal, spiritual change. It really is an image of our salvation. It's that casting away of that old man and then bringing forth that new man. And so that's what it says there. We were raised with him through faith, the working of God who raised him from the dead. And then it says that us being dead in our transgressions, he's brought us to life through the forgiveness that he has for us. Romans chapter 6. Starting in verse 1 there in chapter 6 of Romans, it says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That Jesus Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been united together in a likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. That he who died has freed us, has been freed from sin. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in its lusts. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God, being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. And so here we see that shift, right? It's really cool because it starts out and it talks about that should we just continue in sin because God has given us grace? No, right? The death that he died for us, It took sin away once and for all. It paid that price. So that we, in verse 6, it says, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. When we're in the flesh, we are slaves to sin. But once we come to Christ, all that is gone. We're free from sin. It no longer has dominion over us. it no longer has authority over our lives. Because once we've come to Christ and we're like, here, take all of this, take all of our sins, take all of it away, we no longer want to be slaves to sin. We would much rather be slaves to Christ than slaves to sin, right? Mm-hmm. Slaves to sin is death, but slaves to Christ is life, right? Mm-hmm. And honestly, as if we are slaves to Christ, ultimately we get the better deal, right? Mm-hmm. We get the way better deal. God gets the crappy end of the deal, honestly. But there again in Romans it said that, but we're made alive to Christ at the end. In verse 14 it says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. He's given us grace, right? And I also think it's so cool that in verse 13, it says, do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, right? We don't want to go before God and be used in that way, but rather present yourselves to God being alive from dead. Your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to be used as an instrument of righteousness to God. It's a challenge, honestly. It's a challenge that we cut away that flesh, that we can be used as an instrument of righteousness to God. And then back in Colossians, in verse 14, it says, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that is against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And there in verse 14 it says that he's wiped away the handwritings of requirements that was against us. Before Christ, right, the Israelites, they had to sacrifice to cover their sins. Mm-hmm. He took that. He took all of the sacrifice that we ever would have to make. Because the wages of sin is death, right? And, we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. And ultimately, something had to die to cover our sins. And we all know that. And, they would go and they would sacrifice. It was a requirement. They had to do it in order to cover their sins. But we no longer have to do that. He nailed that to the cross. He took care of it. It was done. It was over with. We no longer have to worry about that. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 17, it says, do not think, this is Jesus speaking here, it says, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For assuredly, I say to you, till heaven and earth passes away, not one jot or tittle will by no means pass from the law until it is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does not teach them shall be called the great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. And that none of us are righteous enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. It is because Christ took that payment for us on the cross that we have been made right with God. And I think it is so interesting there in verse 17 how it says, don't think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I didn't come to destroy any of that. He says, I came to fulfill it. He took the place of all those laws and he paid the price for us. And he's continuing to fulfill. And in his second coming, all of that will be fulfilled. All of it will be done. And then we'll enter into glory. I think it's really cool, too, because in verse 15, back in Colossians chapter 2, it says that He has disarmed the principalities in power and made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. He made a public spectacle of them, right? He overcame death publicly. It wasn't just like oh, this little thing back door that nobody saw. It was public. It was out in the open. And he overcame death. And I think it's really cool that it says that he disarms the principalities and powers. Back in verse 10 says that we are complete in him who is the head of the principalities and powers. And there we see it. As he disarmed them, as he overcame them, as he triumphed over them, we see that he's the head. He's over all of them. I don't know about you, but that's who I want to serve. I want to be under the head, right, with the one who has forgiven all of my trespasses. Yeah.